Let us pray. Our Father and our God, as we wait in thy presence at this hour, we bow before thee because thou art God and beside thee there is none other. We thank thee that thou art our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we praise thy precious and holy name that thou hast given unto us so great salvation. And that thou hast, our Father, elected us in Christ before the salvation, the foundation of the world, and gave us unto him. And we thank thee, Lord Jesus, that thou had become the surety of thy people, whom the Father had given to thee in eternity. And we thank thee that thou didst condescend to be our divine substitute and become our divine Lord and Savior, and that in thee and through thee we would be redeemed from our sins. We would have a clothing to stand before God in thy perfect righteousness, and we would be able to sing praises unto thy holy name because of thy great redemptive grace and mercy. And we thank thee, blessed Holy Spirit, that thou wast sent and you came to call us and to give us that effectuous call unto Christ. We praise thy name for breaking down the door of our heart, casting out Satan, and making us willing in the day of thy power to seek Christ and to follow him. Oh, how we praise thee that thou dost indwell us, and that thou dost take the things of Christ and reveal them unto our souls. What a privilege it is to pray and to meditate and to look at thy word and understand the things that the Holy Spirit reveals unto us of our gracious God, his gracious redemption, and what thou hast wrought for us and freely given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, we wait before thee in this hour that we might truly worship thee in spirit and in truth, and that thy word will be rightly divided. Thou wilt fill us with thy Spirit, and that thou wilt speak to our hearts as only thou can speak. Oh, my Father, you speak once, and we desire to hear twice, with the natural ear and the ear of our soul. So we wait before thee and ask that thou wilt look upon us in mercy. Our Father, we do pray for the sick. We do pray for those who have written in asking us to pray for them. We do pray for the sin sick. We do pray for thy dear children who are struggling hard with sin, the world, and the devil. We do pray thy mercies and blessings to be upon them. And we look to thee to deal with their hearts as only thou canst deal with them. So now we wait before thee, realizing and understanding our need of thee, our need of a pure heart and clean hands, our need of the Holy Spirit convicting, convincing, and converting, the Holy Spirit working that work of regeneration in hearts and making new creatures in Christ Jesus. So we look to thee as we bow before thee, that thy will be done, and Christ Jesus our Lord will be all and in all. For it is in his precious name that we pray. Amen. We desire for you to turn with us in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2 this morning. And let us again read the first 10 verses as we continue what we believe God has laid upon our heart for a series of messages, and that is his salvation, which comes to us by grace through faith, being his gift to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I don't believe you could go any place in the Scripture and find a more vivid picture and a more vivid contrast of who and what man is in his natural state and who and what God is in His marvelous grace to the sons of men as He has condescended to deal with sinners in His rich mercy and His great love by quickening them and making them one in the Lord Jesus Christ and causing them to be His workmanship, creating them in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We began last Sunday morning looking at these verses of Scripture, and what we did was to give you an overall view of the scriptural declaration of the total depravity of man. That when we fell in Adam in the fall, our fall was total and complete. We gave you scripture after scripture showing that every fiber of our being, every part of our body, our imagination, our emotion, our understanding, our affections and our will were all prostituted into sin, and we were dead. Dead spiritually. Dead toward God. Walking around as spiritual corpse. Amen. Physically alive, but spiritually dead to God and the things of His Word, and by nature knew nothing. Because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Now, I make no apologies for preaching the Word of God. I make no apologies for preaching upon the subject of man's depravity. Because if we do not know what we are, if we do not know the consequences of sin, if we do not know what sin has done to us, we will never appreciate the grace of God. Amen. And if we never understand that we are sinners, we will never understand that God saves sinners by grace. Amen. We will never appreciate the grace of God. Praise will never go from our hearts to the living God in thanksgiving for all that He's wrought for us in His condescension as He intruded into the human race in His virgin birth, in His incarnation, in that body that God had given Him, that He might take that body to the cross and offer it up to God as a living sacrifice, as a dying sacrifice for the sins of His people. Amen. We divided these 10 verses into 4 divisions, and we are still on the first one this morning. We looked at verses 1 through 3, and therein we are taught man's depravity. Verses 4, 5, and 6, we see God intruding into the universe. God coming down, God who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. He came out of a free heart of love and of grace. And He intruded into our lives if we're here this morning saved. Amen. He came. He did something. He worked. By His Spirit we might be brought unto Him. Then He tells us in verses 8 and 9 that God's salvation, the salvation that God gives to us in His blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is a salvation that comes to us wholly and completely by the grace of God. It comes to us through faith. But both this grace and this faith are gifts of God.
Amen.
For we cannot save ourselves. It is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it is according to His mercy that He saves us and washes us with the washing of regeneration by the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 10, we see God's purpose in grace. And that is, we are His workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus, ordained unto good works, that we should walk therein. And then verse 7, we see the culmination of it all, of God's eternal purpose in grace, that it's for His glory. That in the ages to come, when He winds it all up, and He brings all of His people into that eternal glory with Christ, in the ages to come, that He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So what God does, He does for His glory. What God does, He does for Himself, for His pleasure. And this I praise Him and thank Him for it. And beloved, we cannot read these verses of Scripture. We cannot meditate upon these verses of Scripture without fully acknowledging that if God had not done something, we would have never been saved.
Amen.
If God had not intruded into our lives, if God had not come, we would have still been dead in trespasses and in sins. Let me repeat again a statement that we made frequently last time we were together upon this subject, and it was this. We cannot understand the grace of God without understanding our sinnership before God.
Amen.
And any man who misses Holy Spirit conviction, any man who misses standing before God as a guilty soul, any man whose heart's not dealt with by the Spirit of God and understand his sinnership before God, cannot understand, cannot appreciate the grace of God and that gift of faith and that mercy that God bestows upon us in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I don't care who we are. I don't care what we are. I don't care what we have done. I don't care what we're doing today. If we've never understood by the Spirit of God's operation in our souls that we are totally depraved, dead in trespasses and sins, that we are walking according to the course of this world, that we're under the reign and rule of Satan, who is the prince of the power of the air, that we are children of disobedience, that we all walk by nature in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and are by nature the children of wrath, then we'll never understand the grace of God in reaching down in the pit of hell and bringing us out into the glorious liberty of the sons of God.
Amen.
Now, beloved, this is essential. This is vital. This is what is wrong in the world today. It is because men do not understand the doctrine of sin. Man gropes in darkness to try to solve the problems in industry. But he cannot, because he does not know that he's dealing with dead sinners. That sin is at the root of all the unrest in the world today. Sin is at the root of all the confusion that is in the world today. Sin is at the root of all the confusion that is in our homes, in our churches, in our schools, in society. Sin is the root of it all. We must understand that. This is the Bible teaching, the biblical teaching, that this is true. Men try to go and solve their problems, but they cannot solve the problem unless they acknowledge the root of it all, and that is that we are sinners by nature, and sin is at the root of everything. I don't care how many presidents we elect. I don't care who we get in the White House. I don't care who we get to sit upon the Supreme Court. I don't care whom we elect as governors and mayors. I don't care who we get to be our police officers and the judges upon the bench. Unless they recognize that they are dealing with depraved humanity and understand that only by the grace of God can a man be delivered, then they do not understand and cannot comprehend the problems they're dealing with, and we go on in the state of confusion week after week and month after month and year after year until our lives are finished and we wind up in hell never knowing what was wrong with us apart from the grace of God entering into our lives as the Holy Spirit opens our hearts and shows us where we are by nature. What is wrong in the religious world today is because man has quit preaching sin. People don't want to hear it. People don't want to hear the doctrine of their total depraved condition. Man does not want to hear that he does not have a free will. Man does not want to hear that he's wholly and completely dependent upon God. Or we might say saved by grace, and we might quote the scripture saved by grace, but only a sinner who has known his sinnership before God really knows what grace is. Amen. And that God dealt with him in this way of grace for his own pleasure and for his own glory. James says, whence comes wars among you? And then he answers his own question. They come even of your own lust that war in your members. Why cannot nations get along with each other? It is because sin is at the root of it. Every man is selfish. Every man is self-confident. Every man wants to be God. Every man wants to have his way. And nobody's going to take the blame apart from the grace of God. We got to deal with the subject of sin. Now, why is man in this condition? Why is man in a condition of total depravity? What has brought man into this state? What accounts for man being in this state? Where do we go for an explanation of man in this state? Well, the first three verses of Ephesians chapter 2 gives us those seven things we looked at briefly last Lord's Day morning. It is that you and I, by nature, apart from the grace of God, are dead in trespasses and sins. Amen. Second, we walk according to the course of this world. This is the way we walk. Nobody has to teach us how to walk in the way of unrighteousness. We walk according to the course of this world. Third, we are governed by the prince of the power of the air, Satan. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Third, we are children of disobedience. Fourth, we all had our conversation and behavior in times past in the lust of our flesh. That's the outward manifestation of our trespasses, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind. And that is the inward working of sin in the mind, and there is a difference. And then we are all by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Amen. Why did God have to write a book and tell us about ourselves? This explains the condition that we're in. We are children of disobedience. Let's look at that first of all this morning. The explanation of our condition is that we are children of disobedience. That's what's wrong with us. The Word of God says that we are the Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And that is what's wrong with every last one of us until grace lays hold of our hearts. And it's something that we have to fight by the grace of God until we get to glory. And that is the spirit of disobedience In other words, our relationship to God, apart from His grace, is a relationship of disobedience. We say that God does not have the right to command us what to do. That's the reason man has believed and swallowed the matter of evolution. No God for me. Is because he does not want to obey God. That's the reason for the disobedience in the home. The child does not want to obey authority. We will not have this man to rule over us. So in the last 16, 70, 80 years, the whole idea of man being totally depraved has completely changed. You only hear it here, there, and yon from those pulpits where God has worked and God's grace has worked in the heart of the man who brings the message. Psychology came in and began to teach us that there was some good in us and began to teach us that there was in us, after all, a free will and that we were neutral and that we could choose what we wanted to. And that has permeated every fabric of our society. You name it, and it is. It's there. And so when God comes with His Word and tells us that we are disobedient, we don't want to hear it. We do not like discipline. We don't like discipline in the home. We don't like it in the schools. We don't like it in industry. We don't like it in commerce. We don't like it anywhere. We hate authority because we are children of disobedience. Now, if Brother Paul could put the word we there, then I must put it. I cannot exempt myself. Amen. By nature, that's what I was, and that's what he's telling these Christian Ephesians. He said, look, I want you to remember what you were. I want you to remember, he says in chapter 1, what it cost God to deliver you. It cost His almighty power. The same power that raised Christ from the grave physically must raise you and I spiritually from the grave of sin. And so man has objected to this doctrine of depravity. Man has rejected God's Word. He has rebelled against it. He lives in a course of self-love and self-pleasing and self-assertion and self-dependence. Does not want God to rule over him. You know why man has rejected the first 11 chapters of Genesis? For there we find that God made man in His own image and His own likeness for His own glory. That's the reason men hate the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. Man does not want to be called a creature of God. Man does not want to believe that there's someone higher than he, one whom he must obey, one whose orders he must carry out. If he doesn't, then the one who's higher than him is going to come down with his wrath upon him. Man doesn't want to hear of this. And it's only by the grace of God, if any of us in this house have ever heard it, that we desire to hear it again and again and again, that this is where we were and this is where God found us and it was His almighty power that delivered us. Amen. And we must understand that if our loved ones are saved and our children are saved, it must be by the same power that brought us from the grave of sin, because there's no two ways of salvation. It is by the power of God working in us. And man does not want to fall down. He does not want to worship. He does not want to humble himself. He does not want to rule, to have God to rule over him. Man believes in his own self-sufficiency. You don't believe that, do you? Well, that's true. Man believes in his own self-sufficiency. Ask anybody in the world if they'll tell you their heart. They'll tell you that they have the answers. They know what's right and they know what's wrong. And they know how to live their lives, and you don't tell them one thing, especially God's not going to tell them to do anything. Get out of my life. I'll not have you to rule over me. Man wants to assert his self-sufficiency. Man wants to believe that he is sufficient in himself. And yet God's Word teaches just the opposite. That we were made by God and for God and to be dependent upon God and to worship God and to follow God and to look to Him for all that we need. We're not sufficient within ourselves, Paul said, to do one thing or think one right thought apart from the grace of God. And then when it comes to the gospel, man does not want to be told that he's on the level with everybody else. He's a pauper. He's got to come to God as a pauper. And that God is no respecter of persons.
Amen.
And every soul that He saves and takes to glory with Him bows in the same manner at the feet of the same Lord, taking the blame before God, and admitting that he is lost, he is guilty, he's under the wrath of God, and that God could either save him or damn him if he pleased.
Amen.
This is what God's Word says. This is how God brings it to us. And beloved, when we understand that, and then our hearts rejoice in the grace of God.
Amen.
We praise God for this great grace. We rejoice in this love. We come to Him with a broken heart, fall at His feet, and crying like Thomas, "My Lord and my God, You have the rule over me. I don't know how to live my life. I don't know how to think. I don't know how to walk. I don't know how to talk. I don't know what to do. Lord, You take my life, and You govern it, and you lead it. You whisper to me out of Your Word how I should live. You show me. Because I don't know how to go in and I don't know how to come out. I'm dependent upon the grace of God." Are you? Brother, this man standing before you this morning, he knows in his own heart that he's dependent upon God for everything. I could not have come in this pulpit this morning apart from the grace of God. I could not preach on this subject, which brings us down in the dust is nothing where we are. I could not preach on it apart from the grace of God and Him working in us. Well, to me, this is the root of sin. To me, this is what is wrong with man. His independence of God. He's an autonomy unto himself. He's a God unto himself. He looks to himself instead of looking to God. Come on, think with me. Where do you find your sufficiency? Where do you find your sufficiency? Do you find it in yourself? You find it in the government? You find it in this place or that place? Or do you find your sufficiency in the Lord God of glory? As He's revealed unto you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, this is the reason why we need to be saved by the grace of God. Because you see, this disobedience is an active thing. It's not passive. It's active. The natural mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. The natural man hates God. The natural man will not come to God that he might be saved. You will not come to me that you might be saved. Man hates this. He will not come to Christ. This is the reason why we have the grace of God. This is why we have the grace of God. This is why the grace of God came down to man. Gone to him. We would have never sought him out. We have never chosen him. We would have never asked Him to be Lord over our life if He hadn't come and did the work in our own hearts.
Amen.
Man hates to hear, being this child of disobedience, that he has no free will. Or he might choose what color automobile he'll buy. He might choose what kind of potato chips he's going to buy in the store and what cut of meat he's going to get. He might choose between this milk and that milk, and I drink 2% milk, and I only get one kind of milk because every other 2% milk I hate. But this one kind of 2% milk is good to my taste, and I buy it all the time if I got to go all over town to get it. I have a choice. I have a free will to act in any way I want to, except to come to God.
Amen.
This is every man outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? When we fell in Adam, we lost the way and lost the will because now we are biased toward evil. Let me see if you'll get as mad at me as that group of students I spoke to nearly 2 years ago got mad at me one night when I said that there was only one man that ever had a free will, and that was Adam. He was not biased toward evil, and he was not biased toward good. He was the only man that ever lived apart from our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to get to that in just a moment. He's the only man that ever lived that had his mind in neutral, and that he could make a choice about his soul. And he made it. And he made it toward evil. And he threw us all into chaos. I will make a statement. Even our Lord Jesus Christ did not have a free will. He was biased toward good, and that's all he could ever choose. That's all he chooses this morning, because he is the holy God and he cannot sin. But you and I are biased. We are biased toward evil. We'll take evil every time. We will decide on the side of sin and self and what profits us every time apart from the grace of God. We will blame everybody else but ourselves apart from the grace of God. Beloved, do you understand that? Has God ever brought that home to your heart? That's what's the matter with you? That you need the grace of God? You need those great riches and that great love of God? It is because you cannot of yourself come to Him apart from His divine grace. Well, you believe then that God is sovereign in His operations, then? Yes, I do. And we come to His footstool. We come as poor sinners. That's why we need the grace of God. That's why we need God's Spirit working within us. And that's why we cry that He'll look upon us as He looks upon the mercy seat. We will choose sin every time. Children of disobedience, we are incapable of obedience apart from the grace of God. We can will to sin. We can will to do evil. But we're incapable of willing to do good. That's why we need to be saved by the grace of God. And every one of us is in the same boat. That's what he says in verse 3, doesn't it? Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, and the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Amen. Now, why are we children of disobedience? Because he tells us in verse 3, about another thing, that we are by nature the children of wrath. In other words, we come in this world, born into this world, with our preference towards sin. We are by nature disobedient. We're not born into this world as neutral individuals. We are born full of sin. You talk about psychology. David was speaking psychology when he said, as he reasoned with himself, now why did I break those commandments? Why Why did I commit those two awful sins? Why did I go against the God I love? And he tells us, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. We look at the little children, and I often think of my little ones as they came into the world, and I held them in my arms, and I looked at them, and I prayed for them, and I said, Lord, how are they going to turn out? What are they going to do? I know which way they're going to go. I did not have to teach them to lie nor steal. I did not have to teach them anything in regard to sin. And beloved, it's not our environment. It's our nature. You can build all the perfect houses in the world and the perfect cities and put all the destitute and the poor and the homeless and the maimed, build all the rest homes and fill them all up. But you haven't solved the matter of what's wrong in the heart. And that's got to be solved by the grace of God. Will you hear the Word of God this morning? That's the reason the grace of God means something to me. That's the reason I go to Him and thank Him and praise Him and rejoice in Him when I read His Word. When I look at this holy God who could have won with one swipe of His hand, damn me into hell forever and ever, and I'd have got my just deserts.
Amen.
And yet I sit before that holy God, and I praise Him that He is the holy God, and He didn't sacrifice His holiness nor His justice to satisfy His love, for He came Himself to die in our place. And there's no man that'll be able to stand before God in that day and says, why have You made me thus? Because you know something? Our Lord Jesus tasted death, eternal death, in hell for His people.
Amen.
Listen to me again. God will never send a person where He's not already been. He went to hell. He knows what it is to die beneath sin. He knows what His own wrath is. He felt it. And His own Son. He'll never send a soul where He's not already been. He's been to hell. And that's the reason the believing people of God love Him and praise Him and rejoice in His grace. And when they hear the expression, but God, they understand that God intruded into their life and that God did something for them that they could not have done for themselves. So they come back with praise and with thanksgiving. They meditate upon those rich mercies of God. And they know where they would have been apart from those mercies that are new every morning. They know where they would have been apart from that great love that's been shed abroad in their hearts. And they knew if love hadn't stopped them and grace hadn't did its work by the Spirit and the soul, that they would have been in hell and gone. It's the reason we love grace. But we do not preach it at the expense of sin or justice. Justice has been satisfied. God has come down, and God has done something. And that's the reason David said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. This is my trouble. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And this is my trouble. I've never in my life wanted my new body like I have in the last weeks and months. And I see what I still am apart from the grace of God.
Amen.
Why? Why such a cold heart? Why such dead prayers? And God has done so much by nature. And God's got to take care of that nature. And that's the reason, praise God, He gives us a new nature. It makes us new creations in the Lord Jesus Christ. Fix up the environment. Do all that you can in the environment. But you'll never take the sinner out of that environment unless you give him a new heart. And it's not the environment. It's the heart of man by nature. Our Lord Jesus said, It's not which goeth into the mouth that defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth. And then he lists all of those deadly sins. Paul said in Romans 7 that there is a law in my members, in me, that is to say, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I'm still corrupt and evil by nature. I'm still by nature a child of disobedience. But praise God for the new nature that He gives us. And this is where grace comes in. Do you believe it? Do you understand it? Let's look one more time at verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation or our behavior. Brother, it's universal. I don't care if you go to Afghanistan. I don't care if you go to Uganda. I don't care if you go to South Africa or Brazil or Canada or Costa Rica, United States. I don't care where you go. Every man born of woman. It's universal. We're all sinners. Amen. We need saving by the grace of God. The Jew didn't want it. The Jew hated it. He said, I'm not like the Gentile. But there's one Jew that come to love it. He says, when I was riding on my horse and riding without God and without hope, he says, he unhorsed me. And he said, I thought I was perfect in keeping the law until the commandment said, thou shalt not covet. Amen. And I found my mind and my whole being coveting everything. And then I found that sin was not only an outward thing, but that it was an inward thing. And when sin revived, I died and I had no help except God would come to his help. And that's the reason I cried, Lord, Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, deliver me from going down to the pit. Read Paul's epistles and see how God dealt with his heart as Saul of Tarsus. And see what God showed him. You'll understand your own heart. When he wrote to Timothy, he said, this is a saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of who I am, present tense, chief. Chief. Why do I need the grace of God? Because I'm the chief of sinners. Amen. Why do I need the grace of God? Because I can do nothing of myself. Have you ever tried to break the power of sin? Ever tried to break the power of a habit? Can't do it. Apart from the grace of God. And then we understand that sin is not just acts. It's a nature. It's a nature. And if we're not living for the glory of God, we have sinned against Him. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. They love your neighbor as yourself. We haven't done it. But you know what the greatest sin is? Or you sit here week after week and saying that you love this truth and you will not bow to this truth that I need the grace of God. I am self-sufficient within myself. That's the chiefest of sins. So you know where the chiefest of sinners are this morning? Sitting in the pews of Mount Zion Bible Church. Because the truth has been preached here, and you've heard that truth. We see the prostitutes walking the streets. We see the whoremongers going after them. We see the men in high positions stealing, and bank presidents and vice presidents going to jail. And we see the outworking of the human heart in rape and murder. And we say, that's awful. That's awful. And it is. But it is not half as awful. If you're sitting upon these pews week after week and hearing that you are a sinner and that you do not need the grace of God and you go on in your self-sufficiency, you're the greatest. And God's going to hold you responsible and accountable in that day that you've not bowed to Him. Then right away you come at me and you said, well, didn't you tell us a while ago that I cannot will and I cannot believe apart from the grace of God? Yes. And I'm going to continue to tell you that. But you're a responsible creature to do what God has commanded. And He's commanded every man, everywhere, to repent. And to believe the gospel. We're responsible before God. And God will not take that responsibility. He does not believe for us. We believe. I do know one thing. That as a poor lost soul, I would search this out. Amen. I would come to this book. And I would cry for God to give me some promise and some word to lay my soul upon. Something that I might plead and cry unto Him about. I love that song, take time to be holy. Speak off with the Lord. We take time to get right with the Lord. It's universal. And man is enmity against God. We cannot push the responsibility back upon Adam. Because if we had been in Adam's shoes, we'd have done the same identical thing. He was our representative. And we are responsible. We are responsible. Then what can I do? Well, look at verse 4. Let's look and see what God's done. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead, what does He do? Dead in sins, He quickens us, makes us alive together with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, beloved, this is grace. He raises us up together and makes us sit together in heavenly places in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is His work. This is His love. This is His mercy. This is His grace. He's done something. And what has He done? He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He sent His Son who came freely. What does He say in Romans 8? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him freely give us all things? And God doesn't send us the word of our depravity unless He intends to intrude into our lives and to bring that grace and that mercy and that love. And this is His work. And this is the reason He comes. And He will come. And I praise God that we can be laborers in the vineyard with Him. We can preach, and we can teach, and we can live, and we can send out the printed page, and we can pray, and we can cry unto the Lord. We are co-laborers with Him in His vineyard. Will He turn down any sinner that comes to Him? Never has and never will. But God, who is rich in mercy, with this for His great love wherewith He loved us. How do I know He will receive me? Well, His Word says that He will. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Acknowledge that you have been living on your own self-sufficiency. Acknowledge that you've been living self-satisfied. Acknowledge that you've been living in self-righteousness and self-sufficiency and self-satisfaction. Acknowledge that you have committed the sin of all sins. That you have sat under the grace of God and you have not bowed to the authority of God. Cry to Him for mercy. Pray that He will come and have mercy upon you. For He delights in delivering poor sinners from going down to the pit. Do you believe that? I praise God that it's so. He never would have given us verses 1, 2, and 3 of Ephesians 2 if He didn't intend to give us verses 4, 5, and 6. He would have never told us what we are if He didn't intend to come. But God, He intervenes. And I praise Him that He does. Beloved, if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't preach again. If I didn't believe that God had the key to your heart, I wouldn't preach again. If I believed that it was left up to my persuasive words, or my anecdotes, or my illustrations, or my power to give an invitation, I'd never preach again. But knowing that God has the key to every heart, He is Lord over every life, then we preach, believing that God is going to work, laying out line upon line and precept upon precept, a little here and a little there, looking to God to work in the hearts of men. We're looking to God to keep His people after He saved them. And that takes the grace of God. And I praise Him for it. I ask you, do you know Christ? Have you rejoiced in what He's done? Were you dead in trespasses and sins? Did God come to your heart by His Spirit as He dealt in mercy with you? Do you rejoice in the sufficiency of Christ? Do you rejoice in the sufficiency of our triune God? Do you rejoice in this God who is rich in mercy? Do you rejoice in this God for His great love wherewith He loved us? Do you rejoice in that He's quickened and that He's made alive and that He's accepted us in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you praise Him? Do you rejoice in this? If you do, continue. Continue. Continue in that grace. Continue looking to Him. He'll never fail. He'll never put on you any more than you're able to bear. If you'll come to the piano and organ, we'll close with number 310. And this is one we all can sing. Number 310. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Number 310. Let's stand.
Pass me not, a gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at the throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Trusting only in thy merit, when I seek thy face, heal my wounded and broken spirit. Save me by thy grace. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. on earth beside thee, him in heaven but thee. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry, while another's hour calling. Pass me by.
Brother Lee, will you lead us in closing prayer?
Our Father and our God, what mercy it has been this morning to hear thy precious word spoken in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Oh, my Father, that we only knew thou to God to make an old vessel and to honor. Bring him out of that cesspool of iniquity that he's wallowed in all the days of his life. Our pastor has given you the blessed truth this morning to how God deals with poor lost sinners. And oh, Father, our cry is this morning, will you deal with every poor lost sinner here this morning? Send those precious words into his heart and the power and the demonstration of thy word.
Amen.
That's what it takes to quicken them out of the condition they're in. Oh, how we thank thee that thou hast blessed us, that we could come together again this morning and to meet with this little group, thou children whom thou hast gathered together, that we may praise thy holy name. And our cry, O merciful God, is that thou will be with our pastor. Give him that wisdom and knowledge which thou hast already given him. But there are still more, O Lord God, that he can be taught. And
Amen. All
we beg, not only him, but we and all others, our children, will thou deal with them. Father, I'm looking for my two daughters next week to be with us. And my cry is, oh Father, that thou would give him the message that thou would have them to hear. This is my prayer. I ask in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.